You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work, so I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version, so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
So, let's just, please allow me to just say it. I'm wearing an Astros t-shirt. It's one of my favorite t-shirts.
Jerk.
When the Astros won the World Series, I had money on them. I was excited about that. And I really don't have a team of my own anymore. I've traded that kind of thinking in for, I have new teams every year or so. It's pretty fun. My wife went to Houston on a work trip. And this is how my son had a Texans hat that he wore to school the day before the Bills played the Texans. She bought him a Texans
never really
hat.
Followed up if there was any fallout.
I don't know of any fallout.
Okay, all right.
But I said that, like, last week would have been a better time to wear it, you know, when they were playing Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when they were ahead in the game, I said to them, boy, you could wear that hat now. Of course, they went on to lose.
Yeah.
So, got this, love the t-shirt. He's got the hat. We got this Houston sports swag, you know. And a lot of my shirts don't fit like they used to. So, I'm especially reliant on the ones that do fit.
Preach.
You know? And this is one of them, so I looked at it. It was up. Today it was up. It was the top one on the pile.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, you know, what? I looked at it for a minute.
Thought, like, should I? Should,
is this going to be? Is this a thing?
Should I do this?
Is this a thing to wear an Astros shirt? And I decided, not really. Now, it's not like my team. Say it were my team. Like, this is my childhood. It's my favorite team. Right. I'm from Houston.
You'd be defiantly wearing it today.
I would wear it, you know, with a purpose. If it's your team.
Yeah. You'd want to stick up for them.
You want to stick up for them.
Right.
You're making a statement. You're like,
yeah,
I'm still on board. I'm still loyal.
Right.
I'm loyal to this team. This is my team, and I'm going to hang in there with
all
them.
All of you shut up. Yeah.
Right?
Defiant. That's why I say, yeah, right. Exactly. Like, just get out of here with your buzzers and your crap. I won.
I'm still here.
Right. Not going anywhere.
So in that case, you can do that, and yeah. I think that makes a fine statement.
Yeah.
It's also...
Whereas you're just really, I don't even know, like, what are you, like a poser?
It fits.
It just fits. That's it. Okay.
It fits. Well, I also thought when I looked at it, when I stared at it, I also thought, well, this would be interesting to bring up, you know, like if your team wouldn't have...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Sabres are just terrible. They're not cheating or anything. Let's hope they're not. Holy cow. How bad would that make it?
Oh, my God.
Imagine if the Sabres were cheating for the last 8 years. So
maybe that's why they can't break through. The players are just besieged by guilt. They can't. They have no clear conscience, and therefore they can't perform.
Everybody's got an illegal stick. Still not good enough.
All right.
The nets on one side of the arena are actually bigger. They switch it up. Still doesn't help. So, you know, you don't have like a cheating thing. You don't have a scandal, but you have a losing franchise. I mean, like a really terrible franchise. And, you know, maybe you put some thought into putting their stuff on, or maybe you just do it because that's what you have and it's what you do.
Yeah.
Either way.
Right. I think that's, yeah. I mean, if you're a fan and you still watch the games, even though you're mad, you probably still wear the hat or the whatever. Like, I would think there's probably thousands of Sabres fans out there that do that. I mean, these people still go to games.
It's what you have.
Right. Yeah.
It's my team. You don't just not,
right.
You just don't root for the Leafs.
Right. So cheating's a little different. Like being bad is one thing, you know. That I think some fans might even feel like that's you know, there's honor in that. Like I'm hanging with you, You're bad. I'm here. I love you. You're making me crazy, but I'm still here, and I'm wearing my sweater. You know, like I'm going to do that. Cheating's a little different, I think. Maybe. I mean, I think it's hard to know unless you're in the spot. You know, because I really don't know. It's easy, I think, from here to go look at those crazy San Francisco Giant fans supporting Barry Bonds. What are you doing? But if I were immersed in it and like went to 30 games a year or something and lived out there and loved him and loved them, I think that can blind you to what is really true. And just like everyone else did it, like whatever. You just find a lot of the convenient excuses that we heard over the years. Choose one or five that work for you and just sort of keep going along. Like, because this is where I want to be. This makes me happy. I like going to the ballpark. I like watching him hit the ball into the water. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think it's more. I think it can be even different than that. Like, we know the deal is, you are never rooting for someone else instead. You are never trading in. I mean, I did, but whatever. You're never trading in. Most people are not trading in that loyalty for another team. The Sabres fan who is fed up with the Sabres is not rooting for the Bruins.
Right.
You're just not going to do that. You might stop rooting for the Sabres, but you're not rooting for their rivals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in all. There are probably exceptions, but most people would not do that. So let's keep going with Bonds. You root for the Giants. You are not going to start rooting for the A's or the Dodgers. You are rooting for the Giants. And most people get most things. Like you understand why people would turn on Bonds and turned on the Giants, and you have a choice to make. What is your choice mm-hmm. going to be? What are you going to do? I can either just never come here anymore, never root for them anymore, in some blaze of glory,
right.
You know, some righteous blaze of glory, and then explain that to all my friends. Okay, well, Dave's out. He's not rooting. He's not one of us anymore. He's not a fan anymore. He's out. So there goes Dave. But you're not changing to another team, and probably because what is the deal when you root for a sports team? You defend them no matter what.
Yep.
If the... You're a Bills fan, and imagine a world where like the Patriots for like 20 years were way better than the Bills.
Mm. Well, that would be horrible.
You're still going to like a cool thing is to just keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been here for 20 years. I've watched all these losses, and here I am again. Mm-hmm. What's the score? 0-0. Right. Let's play.
Again, yeah, there's honor in that.
You keep going.
Yep.
And whatever the thing is, your bottom line is this is still your side. And so when it's Barry Bonds, whether you're thinking about it or not, you're going to end up at the Giants. And with the Astros, cheating, anything. And, you know, what if you know that, if you know the bottom line, you could construct any argument. Like you said, you can construct any reason, any way to defend it.
Yeah.
You don't even need any. Yeah. But if you want one, you want ways to defend it, then you can find them. Yeah. And with Bonds, you would make arguments
right.
that he actually wasn't juicing, or he wasn't benefiting, or it didn't matter, or everybody else was too.
Right, that's right. Pick whichever one works for you and just run with it. And, you know, I would think Astros fans can do the same thing now. You know, sure, they're the only team that has buzzers. Come on, how naive are you? Right? Like, that's you just say that. You don't have to know if it's true at all. You don't have to even try to find out if it's true. You could just say it and go, fine.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah, right.
So it's right. It's plausible enough
yeah.
that a reasonable person could say it.
You could just that's the end of that. You know, like I'm fine over here. Like yeah. I mean, it sucks that it's all messy and people are getting fired and there's all these stories and controversy and whatever. But yeah, I'm fine.
But if you come at me and you're a whatever Yankees fan. And I'm an Astros fan, and you come at me, I'm going to be ready, because this is what I do. This is the army that I was drafted into.
Right.
I was born here, and this is my army, so come on.
And no amount of proof or logic is going to convince you otherwise. I mean, if you absolutely do not want to be, that's the thing. Like, if you aren't open-minded about it, and there's no rule that says you have to be. You know, like, you can just, I'm going to stand over here, where Did you see the video of this guy playing for this other team? He was covering his shirt. Whatever. You're gonna find stuff that you can hang on to, and you'll just choose to believe it. I mean, that's the world we live in. That's politics. That's all of it. Like that's where we live.
In sports, it's a little bit less offensive or controversial or interesting even to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like in impeachment stuff, you know, you'd like for people to actually think it through.
Right.
And care about what's true. And, you know, sometimes they won't. And if they won't, you and I would be like, well, that sucks. I mean, why wouldn't you at least like try to be right? In sports, you can just sort of laugh at that.
Right.
You could more easily get away with laughing at that. Like, oh, whatever. Right. Who cares? Why take it so seriously?
Right. The guy trying to convince you that you're wrong is eventually going to give up. But he's, okay, well, I can't talk to you. Whatever. And, okay, fine.
Often that's you and me.
Right. Sure.
Having fans who, the one thing that matters is they are pro-Bills, so they're calling in to talk about the Bills because that's what we're doing. They're engaging with us. And we're like, well, you know, here's the deal. And they'll be like, why are you so negative all the time? I'm like, well, you know, what was their record?
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
Why. If you want to really know, you want to really figure that out, maybe you don't want to figure that out either.
Right.
Maybe you just want to say it.
And you're free to do that? That's fine.
Sure.
Like, all right.
Sure.
But if you are going to call me or you or us and ask me what I think, I'm going to tell you. And you may not like it. And okay, that's fine. You know, there are no rules, really. You know, like there are rules in sports that, you know, are obviously being broken. That's what this is largely about. But as far as out here where we live, like the fan, just don't punch anybody. I mean, that might be the only rule. Just don't punch anybody.
No slapping.
Like, right. No, yeah, right. Butts or otherwise. Like, just you know, don't infringe on my good time with your good time getting out of hand, and we're good.
Yeah.
You can believe whatever you want to believe.
I got some feedback on the conversation about Odell Beckham and that police officer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. One friend of mine was like, a pat on the butt, that can be bad. That could, you know, you were talking about simple battery versus sexual battery, and I was like, okay, so are there actual lines drawn here? I would just like to know. But, you know, a couple of inches apart, that's a pat on the back. Mm-hmm. And people tend to think, they say nice things, good things about the importance of getting a pat on the back. I'm not being flippant here. I'm just pointing out that sort of thing that came up from yesterday's conversation about Beckham and slapping. So when would you decide, what would cause you to stop watching a sport or stop following a team? Like, would it be something like this, or would it probably be that you just get bored with it?
I think it would have to be that I just get bored with it.
Yeah.
Because I am not the Red Sox fan that I was 15 years ago. But through the tail end of David Ortiz's career, like there was reason to think that there was stuff going on there. I mean, he was not the center of the controversy, but he was a part of the controversy. Like, he was implicated in something. I don't even remember what. You know why? Because I didn't want to remember what. Because I like to watch them stand at the plate and hit balls into the bullpen. So I would watch their games, and every now and then I'd have like a, you know, I'd say something if Owen were watching with me. I'd say something about being disappointed in him or something. But I was still there. Like when he beat Detroit in the, what was that, 2013, I think that was. Great. Like I'm all here for it, right? That's the year that because the cop was out there in the bullpen and the guy fell over the wall, the short wall in right field, and that's my guy. What about the thing in the wide? I don't know. I don't even remember. I know there's something. It wasn't good, but I don't know. He didn't get punished. He's there playing. Go Red Sox.
And a big part, like you pointed this out to me. Pretty directly when we were talking about, was it the Bills game or was it something else about like why you root for your teams or whatever? And I ended up talking about how with baseball, Like, I just don't have a team like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I was Mets and some Blue Jays, and I was little. When I was little, it was Reds. And as an adult, it's been lots of different teams for different reasons. Grady Sizemore and the Indians, and you know, that was about my wife, and just Betts, and Houston, Atlanta, all over the place. And you're like, well, you know, what you really could do is appreciate how the people around you, and when it comes to football, the people around you root for the Bills, and they'll be happy if the Bills win, and that might, you know, you might think about whether that would matter to you. And sort of be a part of the community here, you jerk. Yeah. And, you know, I do think about this a lot because of how my feelings have changed about these other teams and or about everything, all this stuff. And I think that's really, I don't mean this as an excuse either. Like, I would tell you this straight to your face. That's really the job, the effect of the job on me, I think. Because I do consider myself a part of the community in ways, right? But in this particular way, it's more complicated because, like, I feel like I'm sort of tasked with, well, here's the truth about them. And I don't have to be right, but just sort of my way of connecting to that.
Right,
is
you want to
that.
Find your way to what appears to be right anyway.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, in terms of who to root for, it's simpler for me. It's far less complicated for me to root for, I mean, San Francisco, because that's not bothering anybody. Mm. You know, like, I think they're the best team, so San Francisco, whatever. But yeah, I mean, for me, it would be not, I probably, if it's something personal, maybe it would be different, but it's not going to be the scandal or some such thing that breaks you from a sport. Because, you know, I'm 48, you're even older than me. And we've seen a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, we've had a lot of it. Football, there's been a lot of it. I mean, there's just hockey, it's different. Hockey is less scandalous, but more with, you know, the canceled season and maybe just sort of the style of the game over the years. Hockey's maybe the best example of this because hockey didn't do certain things that have happened in other sports to make you angry in a moment. Maybe, you know, you could find these things, whether it's stick violence or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You could find these things, but it just got, you know, maybe it just got boring or something. Or then it got boring and got better again. NBA was that for me.
Yeah.
NBA was, I didn't really care so much about the politics of it or anything and never was really close to a team. But about 20 years ago, I found myself not caring about it anymore. Games didn't seem like they were as fun to watch. Scoring was down and I knew that, and that helped me. It sort of reinforced how I felt. And so I just kind of stopped following it until Steph Curry. And when that took off, I caught wind, and then I sort of fell back in watching the NBA.
I'm a huge NBA guy now.
You are?
I watched 4 games on Christmas.
Yeah.
I've watched a single one since, but I mean, I did. I don't think I've watched 4 regular season basketball games, NBA basketball games, in the last 20 years.
What you are is
I
a Christmas
in
NBA
a row
fan.
On Christmas Day, and we never talked about this. I don't want to change the subject entirely here, but it was very interesting to me that sport. Owen does not watch basketball games like around me anyway, and as far as I know, he's not going out somewhere watching basketball games. He knew like everything. Well, I shouldn't say everything. I mean, he's not like a super fan, but like he knew guys on every team and like stuff about them. And that, I think, is just he's an athlete, he's on a team, and the NBA is cool. Like the NBA is all over social media, and he just knows stuff. It just surprised me like that he was so plugged in to a sport that I never really see him watch, but he watches it every day on his phone. You know, it's just Instagram and whatever. He's just getting stuff that's happening in that league. And I mean, I don't feel that from any other sport really at all. I think basketball, I thought that was really kind of fascinating to me. And I'll bet there's a lot of parents out there that would tell you the same. And so I'm probably going to watch more basketball while he's still living with us just because he's into it. You know, like, so I'm always looking for connectivity. That's my thing with all this, you know, that's concerts. That's all, everything is just give me something to plug into with you that I can experience with you or just a bunch of people. Like, that's it, for me. So, I see. I didn't want to derail us, and I feel like I did. I'm not sure where to go from there because it's sort of a different point.
Well, on the NBA, I feel like I'm back off of it because Golden State died.
Yeah.
So I don't. I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, I don't think I'm watching. I don't know if I'm watching the finals. Like, I don't want to watch the Lakers in the finals with LeBron James. I got no interest in that. Maybe the Clippers, but I doubt it. Yeah. I don't know if I'll care about it. But I will care about it if they make all those changes to the format of the league. That I will be really interested in.
Mid-season the tournaments and all that sort
yes.
of talk. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thinking is so long overdue right. in sports.
Oh, hell. We were talking about that as an idea for hockey, maybe during the canceled season.
Yes, like, definitely.
We go back that far, folks. Yeah. Like, what can we do? What could dress it up? And that seemed like a real good idea.
Yeah, that's right.
So if the NBA gets there, good for them.
That's great for basketball, I think. All right, today we have Travis Yost at 4. That's always great. I love having Travis on. So he'll be on to talk Sabres and some Bills. And I've got a food take for him. He is known also for his prowess in translating hockey performance, analytics in hockey. Super smart guy. But he's also known for some controversial opinions about food and restaurants.
Yeah.
And I ended up spitting one out in a conversation today. I'm like, you know what? That is how I feel. So I got to run this by Travis.
Okay.
It's about cookies. Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans for ESPN, will be on with us too. He, of course, has to work this weekend. Titans Chiefs in the AFC Championship. We'll have picks. We got to talk about Bulldog season and picks. We have said for years, no one cares about the picks. And I'm not blaming you for not caring about the picks. No one should care about the picks.
Right. You definitely shouldn't care about the picks.
There are certain people I follow on Twitter and know who seem to take very seriously how they do in the picks, which, I mean, I don't know if it works for them, great. But whether it's them or it's like the guys on TV when they show their records and they don't even use the point spread and their records are awful.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 8-11 this year. But he did it. He was a Hall of Fame player. I mean, obviously he would know what he's talking about. Just has no idea what's going to happen in his games like the rest of us. So, I always laugh at that. And here you are with your record. I want to, you know, spend a minute on that.
All right.
I do think you ought to consider doing it professionally. At least I just want to make an argument for it.
Well, if I could retroactive, then, but that's not how that works.
I've had a lot of fun with it, and I lose. So
yeah,
how could you not have fun with it if you're winning? All right, 803-0550. We'll talk Sabres stars as well when we come back. Buffalo winning last night in Dallas at Nashville tomorrow night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey. We've had some good third periods with the lead throughout the year, and thought we did a good job tonight just managing the game and getting the puck in deep when we had to. Every rush up the ice isn't going to be the pretty play. Sometimes it's just managing the clock and knowing when to chip it in when you're in certain parts of the ice. So thought we did a good job managing that.
That is Michael Del Campo. That is Ricky Fowler.
Lukin and Pekin and Pokinen, whatever the heck his name is.
That is Lukin and Pekin and Pokinen. Pretty sure.
Good God.
That is Al Davis, the late Raiders owner. That is, I know, that is Cloris Leachman, actress. That is Kyle Oposo, Sabres. No?
Dalton Smith still with them? No, I knew he's not. Jake McCabe?
Who scored?
Brandon Montour.
Darlene scored. It's not Darlene, right? Hey!
It's not Gergensen's.
Is that Jose Altuve nearby?
Is that what Jimmy VC sounds like?
Oh, he scored.
Yeah.
That's what his scoring looks like.
Yeah. That was a great play by Reinhart. Great play by Eichel. Great play. It was a great play. It was a great play.
Oh, so it's VC. We have our answer.
VC is right. Yes.
Jimmy
right.
VC.
Yeah.
I'm excited about fantasy hockey suddenly. Okay. A couple of things have just sort of perked up in me this week. With football winding down. That is fantasy hockey and baseball. In fact, here was a conversation that happened today. I go to this draft every March in Philadelphia, Glenn Macnow.
Yep.
I've really enjoyed that trip every year for 3 or 4 years at least in a row. I've been there that weekend. And I had decided I'm not going this year. I have two teams. We draft Saturday and Sunday, two different leagues. And one of them is just hopelessly bad, and I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what I want to do. Andy Roth, our old boss, is in these leagues with me, and he lives in Cleveland now. And so I checked with him, and he has this idea about coming here that weekend, and I'm there too, and a couple other people locally are involved, and we just do it here. We have like a cluster.
Like a satellite location of the draft.
Exactly, like a satellite office. And he's like, yeah, it's looking like I'm going to be able to do that. And I've been, okay, so that's the plan. And then today I thought about Glenn, and I texted Glenn. I said, I don't know if I've told you yet, but I'm not planning on coming down this year for the draft. And he said, it was really nice. He's like, I figured that because usually you are immediately respond when I ask if anybody wants to stay here. And I really like having you here. You've made it a lot more fun. I'm sorry you're not coming. And then I said, you know what? I'll be there. After he wrote that, I'm like, all right.
Well,
I'll get there.
You just wanted to be
so nice.
You just wanted to be courted a little bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to be wanted. Who doesn't, right?
Plus, staying here, if other people, like if Andy's coming to town, like then the pressure gets put on you to like sort of host something.
Maybe. I don't mind that. I enjoy that.
All right.
But I think I'm going now anyway. Right. So I'm excited about those things. Fantasy hockey. I've got this Rangers goalie, Georgiev.
Yeah, he could be traded. He probably should be traded.
And Joe wants him traded because Joe has Lundqvist.
Who can't get in the net. Like, he's got one of their last seven starts.
Darren Dreger was tweeting about Georgiev and how, like, maybe the Leafs want him.
Yeah.
And then there was a conversation on Twitter involving James Mertl and maybe also Dreger. Like, people were throwing ideas out, and they both were like, no, it's got to be more.
Yeah.
So Dreger said he didn't think Kasperi Kapanen would be enough.
Would be enough for this Georgiev.
Which is crazy to me, but.
Rangers 1 point behind the Sabres. Better goal differential. The Sabres are five out. Behind Columbus and Carolina.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia. They're all 56.
Yeah. I've not looked to see who else has this time off. I mean, everybody's got next weekend off because of the All-Star break, and I've not even looked to see how long the All-Star break itself is because the Sabres are off the whole week leading up to it, so there's no cutoff point. But usually that's at least Thursday, I think, is maybe the latest you go. And then
there are no games Thursday.
Okay. All right. So
to Wednesday.
All right. So there won't be that much maybe there won't be that much. Like they play Saturday. I was thinking, even if it was, you know, it's nice. They've won three in a row. Last night was a good night. VC was talking about the third period. The third period was really impressive. I mean, they just did a really good job of kind of buttoning that game up. They played a reasonable amount of it in the Dallas end. Whenever Eichel was on the ice, the puck was just down in the Dallas end. It was a strong showing, I thought. So three in a row, and you know you got ground to make up. And there's one more game, and I'm thinking, like, even if you get that and close the gap or even just keep pace with everybody else, you know, you're going to be down for all this time. You don't play again until the 28th of January. Like, what's the gap going to be? Even if you get it, even if you go in at 5, which is where it is right now, like, what's it likely to be after you don't play any games for 10 days or 9 days? But if there's not that much, I mean, there's no games, only two games Wednesday, no games Thursday, and then everybody picks up again after the All-Star game, maybe they won't lose as much ground as I was fearing they might. Because I was thinking, like, that was just, you know, 5 points is going to turn into, like, 8 points real quick. But maybe it doesn't have to. I mean, it's, you know, teams could lose, too, of course. But.
I'm quite sure you watched the game more closely than I did. The first two periods were all Dallas, or no?
No, the first period was great.
The stats say all Dallas in terms of possession.
It was a real boring, low chance, like road game period.
That's their way now.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the first period did not end with, ooh, they're fortunate to be ahead. Did they finish the period ahead? I'm trying to remember. I think they did, 1-0. I think Dallas scored in the second.
Yes.
The second was bad. The second, they got run over in the second. But the first period, I did not feel watching the game like that. It was just to me a low chance game, and they got a goal, and like, okay.
So, are you actually hopeful or what? What was the last week done?
I mean, what did I just sound like over here? Right? I mean, I think I'm oozing hopefulness, but until you're
representing.
Yeah, I mean, until you're buried, and they're not buried until you're buried. I'm always watching. I'm gonna hang in there. This team has put good stretches together, and they're kind of right in the middle of one right now. They're 5-2 in their last 7 games. So, you know, yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, I don't know if you ask me to bet on them to make it. I mean, I still feel a little embarrassed about the 96 point thing from when was that, like a month ago now. But sure, I'm gonna ride the ride.
Yeah, but you're sounding like you're saying you're doing it because this is what you do. Like, are you thinking that this team is getting good, or is it getting interesting? Because for me, it's really not yet.
It could get interesting. I don't know if they're getting good. I think this is who they are. Like, they have had, again, these peaks and valleys this year, and they're in a peak right now. So I think until they have a valley that's so low that they can't come back for it, or it's late enough in the season that they can't come back from it, I would still give them a chance, but I don't know, hopeful. I guess I'm hopeful. I'm not optimistic. Is it? Do those have to be the same?
Like, no, that's right.
Like,
that's
right. I'm still like, okay, come on. You know, come on, guys. But no, I don't think they're suddenly different or anything. This has been what they've done all year.
Mm-hmm.
So
they really have, yes, and or but they have established themselves as a team that wants to play these low event games.
Yeah,
like last night's a good game for them, and it was easily like losable. We can debate the first period, but going into the third period, they were the second best team in the game. They were also ahead, and they got it. They played a good third period, and they got it.
After the way the second went, I would tell you, like, watching the game, my wife sat down. She got home from work just around the time the third period was starting, and she sat down and she said, "How's this going? They're ahead. That's good." I'm like, "I don't know." The second period left a mark, and I was not expecting them to hold on and win the game, but they played a really good third period and did it.
They have almost the same record as Nashville, their opponent tomorrow, 21-25. Buffalo is 22-26. They both have 7 overtime losses, so. Kind of an even matchup, and maybe it's a win if they were to get it that would mean something to people. Maybe last night did a little bit. You have to put them together.
Right.
And if they do enough of that, then fans are always ready to come back emotionally. I mean,
right.
People are going to games and stuff.
But. I think how I just was talking at the beginning about the time off and the standings, I will be paying attention right up until the All-Star break to what the teams around them are doing. I'm already doing that. I mean, I talked earlier this week about Boston and Philly and laughing about Brad Marchand. Like, I could have kind of used you to get a goal there, buddy. You know, like, it's not for nothing in the shootout, right? I'll be doing that. And, yes, that would be pushed further for me if they were to win a fourth in a row and go into the break having won four games in a row. I'd be like, okay, come on. Like, come on, Philly, whoever else, Carolina, Columbus is around there, I think. The Rangers are right behind them. Let's get some favorable results, and I want to have a race. I want to come back from the All-Star break and be looking at games that matter. And they have a stretch of 9 out of 10 right out of this break at home.
Ottawa is the first one. Right. Montreal, teams below them.
Right.
Those are the first two games they play after the break.
The lone road game, I think, is at the Rangers, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I looked at the schedule. So it you know, I don't know all the rest of who they have in that stretch. I can easily get it here in a minute. But, that's favorable. They have been – their record at home is quite good. The problem has been the road.
You know, Boston has 12 overtime losses out of 49 games. They have 12 overtime losses and 9 regulation losses. Like, they are going for a record crazy number of overtime losses somehow, Boston. Colin is with us. Hello, Colin.
Hi, guys. You know, I forgot Rob Ray mentioned it was Dad's Night. And as soon as I saw all the fathers in the crowd up in the upper, I was like, they're going to win this game. That's the reason they're hustling all over the place. I was thinking to myself, I wonder what the record is for Dad's Night games.
Do you know? I don't.
No, I don't. But the second thing I thought of is I wish I was at the casino, because as soon as I saw all the dads, I would have one time only ever. And sure enough, I just had a feeling about the game.
Well, hopefully for your sake, Colin, you would look up their record before betting. You would want to actually know how this – and not just the Sabres, right? Wouldn't all teams be affected by Dad's Night equally? Or just the Sabres dads or special dads?
Right. If Dallas had all their dads on the other side of the arena, I would have went, they're going to lose.
That's the matchup of all matchups, dads versus dads.
Right. I'm thinking the dads should tour with them the rest of the season.
Yep.
Be at every arena, every game. That's all.
Hey, if they win tomorrow, there'll be a lot of people saying it. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
They were
a pretty big underdog last night, and they kind of did get outplayed in front of the dads.
This stretch that I just mentioned is Ottawa, Montreal, Columbus, Colorado, Detroit, all at home, then at the Rangers, then home for Anaheim, Detroit again, Columbus again, Toronto. And that's not – that is
Ottawa.
A very manageable chunk of the schedule, man. I mean, that is – I mean, I don't know if you get a – 9 of those 10 at home – and those opponents, I mean, the Red Wings twice is nice. Ottawa to lead it off is nice. Anaheim is that, you know, that's nice. So they, I don't know. You know, like, if you're looking for a run, there's your run. You know, check with me, the middle of February is when that ends. And if they haven't gotten themselves to, like, a point out of the mix or actually into a spot, then maybe I'll stop paying attention to the standings. But that's a very manageable schedule.
I wonder when I'm going to start, what it would take for me to start paying attention to it. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Those are nice-looking games. Win all of them.
Sure.
Win 3 out of 4 of those games, you know? And, okay. Catch up. How about that? They're 5 points out.
Right.
Catch up, and I'll sign on. I don't think they have the team. But you never know in this sport. I tell the guy they got outplayed and won. It's happened about a zillion times in our lifetimes. And when we lived in the days before that was more easily measurable, it happened all the time too. We just maybe looked at it differently or the same. But it still happens all the time in hockey. And you can win anyway.
Yep.
But it's just not something I would predict. Travis Yost will have an absolutely well-informed and qualified opinion about this coming up in less than 20 minutes. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Sitting in a cold car, no fun? Skip scraping ice off your windows with a keyless car starter from B&R Auto Accessories. Right now, you can get a $379 starter for just $279 only from GetMyPerks.com. Details at GetMyPerks.com. Remember, the perks to living in Western New York are just a few clicks away at GetMyPerks.com.
Couple things. One is that I saw a tweet that Roger Goodell today said the Raiders are now officially the Las Vegas Raiders.
What, didn't have to wait till after the Super Bowl or the league year?
I guess not.
Ooh, let me go to ESPN.com and
his follow-up quote was, I am the league year. I decide when it's the league year, and I am here to tell you they are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
ESPN.com still has them listed as the Oakland Raiders.
Roger, league year, Goodell. That's what they call me. So that's a thing.
Okay.
Travis Etienne, the great running back for Clemson, is staying at Clemson. Okay.
That's kind of a surprise.
Yes. I mean, more guys did that this year. Like prominent guys that were thought to be going pro, apparently.
Right. A couple Alabama guys stuck around. Yeah.
But I don't really mean this question because whatever, it's his choice. I don't even know the guy, of course. But why would you do that? Why would you do that? Gonna play for free?
Loves college, likes Trevor Lawrence, wants to win a national title.
They just did. Right. Or is he a freshman?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, this would be his senior season.
Okay, he's already won a national championship.
He wouldn't be eligible for the draft if he were that young.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So
no choice to make.
Why would you do that?
He did say in his statement something about playing with his brothers. I do believe he has at least one on the team, if not another coming in, but still. I don't know. You're still playing for free. Is it worth it?
Yeah, there's a lot of good running backs coming in. This is going to be a thing here in the next few months about the draft. A lot of like excellent running backs coming in. This would have been one of them. And so he's crossed off the list for this year. But we've got the trend, which is it really doesn't matter who your running back is. Teams have stopped drafting them as high and so on. We've established that that's the way the league has been acting. One. Two, there were exceptions to things this year. Derrick Henry's season and postseason, the great rushing attacks of the 49ers and the Ravens that are not the same thing at all as Derrick Henry, but still. And then this influx of running backs, like if they're going to – you want to draft these running backs in the second or third round, say, like the Bills did last year with Singletary, fine. But how many teams will have a spot? You've got, you know, a transition going on right there at that position. And if you're drafting a second-round running back, he plays. Although, teams don't have to act rationally. And we've seen some of these situations where the guy did wait. It was a big positive to both of us, I know, this year, that Singletary mattered as early as he did and as much as he did.
Yeah, I would have been really upset if they had drafted him in the third round and he was like buried on the depth chart or not dressing or something. Like that would have made me insane. So great, thankfully they didn't do that. I don't know, maybe teams that already have a guy are thinking lightening that guy's load and having more of a tandem thing. That has been something that's worked in the league. So maybe we'll see more of that. But I don't know. I mean, how high do you draft a guy that you're going to make part of a tandem?
Exactly. And we have a guest coming up on Tuesday. I referred to him on Monday of this week, Dan Hendry from Football Guys, because he had a ranking of quarterbacks that I liked and we talked about a little bit. He'll be on the show on Tuesday. He also did running backs in his footballguys.com article on fantasy value. And he says that there are up to 16 running backs in the league that should feel safe in their jobs. And part of his thinking is all these college guys coming in are really good. And wide receivers is some form of the same thing. That's one area we'll hit with Dan when he visits us on Tuesday. And again, I think this is going to be a fun and interesting topic throughout the months here before the draft. What about, especially for the Bills wide receivers, who are they? When are they going? Who does what? and which teams, I mean, at least at wide receiver, you're going to have three or four on the field a lot, so you can justify having that many,
right?
You know, that get real money or that were high picks and things like that. Running back is kind of a different deal, but to close, maybe not. Look at San Francisco. San Francisco, here they are, a touchdown favorite or more in the NFC Championship, home field. They're the team to beat out there and have been. And they run the ball great, and they do it with different guys, to the point that nobody can seem to even make an intelligent guess as to which one of them
who's their number one running back
they will lean on. And my guess, I'm not saying it's necessarily intelligent, my guess is it's Coleman, and I think probably if I thought about this more, I might have gotten there last week when it definitely turned out to be Coleman, because I'm thinking of that Ravens game they lost where Mostert had a big game, but they started with Coleman. And what they'll come off of it if the guy doesn't hit. You know, like they have other mm-hmm. – and Breed it too. Like they'll go to someone else. Last week, Coleman did well pretty early, and they stayed there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Nobody seems to know what they'll start with, but maybe there's a hot hand piece here, and if the guy they start with does well, they'll just stay there. Maybe that's Tevin Coleman again, as it was last week when they beat Minnesota. Travis Yost on the Sabres and the Bills. When we return, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.